So my wife Nance and I really love to hike with our Bernese Mountain Dog German Shepherd mix. His name is Moosty. Here's a picture of him with me. Never say that dogs don't look like their owners and vice versa, right? He is so much fun. Now, he's getting a little bit older now, so he's slowing down a little bit. However, when we take him out to hike, what is so much fun is that it's like he comes alive. I mean, just he jumps out the back of the vehicle onto the trail, and his start ascending rocky steps headed toward the trail we're going to hike. His entire big, fat, furry body just shakes, and it's just like he's shouting, "I was made for this!" And that whole Bernese Mountain Dog mix comes through big time. Invariably, we come upon some steep climb that just screams, fearful, can't do it, too hard. At least that's what Nance and I think and feel. And when we approach something like that, invariably, Moosty is just the opposite. He starts climbing faster, more ferociously, like I was built for this. He just loves the opportunity. All along the way, what he needs and what we need are footholds. Places to dig in, places to put your foot that are going to be secure. And that's what the ascent psalms supply for us. Footholds. Ascend strong footholds for trusting Jesus. Ascend strong footholds for truly trusting Jesus. Life climbing into a new year is full of what might seem like obstacles and hopes and dreams and fears that are potentially overwhelming. Many of you have reflected to me in the opening 10, now 11-day run of this year, and, "Oh, wow, I sure hope 26 is better than 25. And so, I get it. You know, just aspiring to that, hoping for that. But the obstacles can feel real and can feel too hard. We need footholds. Reframed, those obstacles, those fears, those shaky spots on the trail, reframed, refocused, we actually find places where our faith can grow. Reframed, refocused, re-envisioned, we actually find places to climb where we can climb higher and our faith can grow. Ascent Psalms are all about that. All about building in us and through us a greater trust in Christ Jesus. Such steep and rocky steps can be full of opportunity for faith building. And that's the big picture we encounter in the Ascent Psalms, truly. This morning we see Ascent 122 and 123. Let's step into 122, Psalm 122, starting with verses 1 and 2. God's word says, "A song of ascents of David. I rejoiced," David says. "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.' Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." We discovered last time together, this is a very special psalm set. Ascents are a very special psalm set. Psalms 120 to 134 make up these ascent psalms. 15 psalms coinciding with the 15 steps leading up to the temple in Jerusalem. And they serve as a playlist, in a sense. Brian just highlighted for you the fact you can clue into the playlist Gabby curates for us, but there's this playlist here with the Psalms of Ascent. They're beautiful. They're powerful. Amazing, even. These amazing songs for Jewish pilgrims as they climbed to their annual festivals at Jerusalem. These amazing songs actually set people's hearts toward greater trust with rich lyrics. They did it back then, and they still do it today. You know, great songs do that, right? They truly do. If you regularly listen to music, and I listen to music every day, different genre, different styles, but the ones that really grab my heart are those that have rich lyrics about the Lord, rich lyrics about his character, rich lyrics that change my vision, my perspective on who he is and what he does. And that is oh so true with these Psalms of Ascent. In a sense, each ascent psalm supplies additional footholds for climbing higher in trust in the Lord. Last time we saw footholds like answered prayer amidst our troubles. We saw that in Ascent 120. Answered prayers amidst troubles. We saw the psalmist say, I took my troubles to the Lord. And a number of you this week reflected to me, oh man, I need to do that better this year. I need to, instead of worrying, stirring, turning, brewing on all my troubles and letting anxiety take over, I need to take them to the Lord. 121, a number of you told me this week, that's my favorite. That's my favorite psalm. Lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And we learned there in that psalm this watchful protection amidst our fears. It doesn't absolve us of all fears. It means we've got watchful protection for us in the midst of those fears. Again, footholds. Ascend strong footholds. Today we're going to gain two more ascend strong footholds for climbing higher, building our trust in Jesus in 2026. A little bit more backdrop though, because we need that to set it straight for us, what's going on in these psalms as we're going up to Jerusalem. You always ascend, always ascend. You cannot arrive in Jerusalem without going up. When touring in Israel years ago, we had been in the region of Galilee for a few days, and then it was going to be our couple of days in Jerusalem. And when headed to Jerusalem, our bus climbed. Higher and higher round. Now, what was funny about that is we were riding on the bus and staring out the window and watching us climb, the bus got slower because the climb got steeper. And then at one point, our bus driver got on the speaker and said, if you look out the window, you will see some people reenacting pilgrimage. And I looked out and there were people doing this. And it was March, but in that season, that time, the weather was such, they were sweating. And you could see it, and they're climbing, they're reenacting pilgrimage. And I looked out, and I smiled, and I'm thinking to myself, I am so glad I'm on this bus, not out there doing that. You always, always, you can't get to Jerusalem without climbing, without going up. Deuteronomy 12, 5 to 7, under Moses' leadership, years and years before Jerusalem was established, had specified this unique place God would choose for his people to travel. And it would be there that they would celebrate and make sacrifice. One of those kinds of sacrifice was called peace offerings. And there were burnt offerings, and there were wave offerings, and all these other, at times, bloody sacrifices. Blood would be spilled to cover sin and make peace. There would be these peace offerings. In the midst of it, they would celebrate. They would rejoice at forgiveness of sins. They would rejoice at the peace between humans and Creator God. At this sacred place, they would eat and rejoice. Later in history with David, under King David, this became Jerusalem. And under his son Solomon, the temple was built. Deuteronomy 16 specified three annual feasts to observe: Passover, Pentecost, and for autumn, the festival of booths, of tents, of shelters. They would climb to Jerusalem and they would gather up the stuff to build these portable tents, and they would reenact what it was like to have lived out in the wilderness. They would do that on Mount Zion, Jerusalem. Although he's credited with many of the Psalms, not all of them are of David. Important to note that. But this one is of David. And it helps set the tone, the overall trend for travelers, the tune of their hearts. The outlook of their lives would be set by what is said in these songs, especially this one. Psalm scholars Walt Key and Zaspel, just a couple years ago, they came out with this tome of a book on the Psalms. It's just rich and it's beautifully understandable. It's accessible. Walt Key and Zaspel observed this. David was a remarkably multi-gifted man. He was handsome, athletic. He was a shepherd, a rugged outdoorsman, a fierce warrior, a brilliant military tactician, a successful king, an administrator, a master poet, a skillful speaker, and an accomplished musician. And I love this comparison. They say he was the Mozart of his day, who transformed the entire atmosphere of Israel's worship. The Mozart of his day, who transformed the entire atmosphere of Israel's worship. Verses 1 and 2 again, King David shares his rejoicing heart, and it sets the tone, it sets the trend, the whole tune, the whole style of living, his joyous anticipation at others' invitation to make the trek. And he notes how they said, let's go! You never find your heart beating faster or you're getting excited when somebody says, let's go! About to go somewhere on some adventure and somebody else shouts, let's go! And he says, I got excited. I rejoiced when they said, let's go. Right here in these two verses, we see both the exciting departure and the joyous arrival all packed in right here, just a few lines. All those treacherous hazards we saw last time together back in Ascents 120 to 21, the troubles, the fears, all of that get eclipsed by David's own glad outlook, rejoicing upon arriving inside Jerusalem's gates. It's like, you know what? All that treacherous climb, all the fear, all of the dismal heartache, and all of that. It's like, whoosh, because we're here. We've arrived in the gates of Jerusalem. We're here to rejoice. Verse 2 starts to reveal our next ascend strong foothold. Now watch this closely. Note the meaning in the name Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel, that place where the Lord's house, the temple, resided. In Hebrew, it sounds like this, Yerushalom. Yerushalom. A whole bunch of you in the last few weeks have told me you enjoyed during our Peace on Earth series at Advent, running around saying shalom, shalom to other people. We'll try it out again. Let's do it again. Ready? Shalom, shalom. Go ahead, say it with me. Shalom, shalom. What are you saying? Peace. Peace to you. Shalom, shalom. Yeru, shalom. Here is God's holy place, envisioning and providing peace. This is peace city. This is the peace place. Jerusalem. The Lord sees to it and provides his peace. That's what's wrapped up in the city's name. The Lord sees to it and provides his peace. The Lord sees to it so that you can see peace, so his people can experience, can encounter peace. In the fullest sense, we need peace. The Lord's people come to this place and they see for themselves peace. There's even older, robust lingo linkage way back in Genesis chapter 22, early in God's story when Abraham offers Isaac on the mountain. And the end of that account, we're given this little explanation where we scoop up this concept of the Lord providing, the Lord seeing to it and providing. Yahweh Yireh, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. The Lord, literally, the Lord sees to it, and the Lord provides peace. Yerushalom. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. The Lord will see to it. So our ascend strong foothold right here in 122 is prevailing peace amidst family and friends. Prevailing peace amidst family and friends. Now, it is super important to know this peace is certainly calmer heart and soul tranquility, yes. It's resolution of conflict, yes. It is ceasefire when a ceasefire is needed, absolutely. It is war no more. That great vision is in view right here, yes, for sure. But shalom is even more. Shalom is even more. It's wholeness. It's flourishing in all divinely blessed ways. It's fully integrating our hearts, our minds, our souls with the goodness and the forgiveness of God for our sins. It's knowing peace with God for our hearts, our minds, our souls. It's this true return to the goodness, the sweetness of God once again in our lives because of the grace he supplies, because of the mercy, because of the work of Christ. We trust him. And so it's fully integrating our hearts, our minds, our souls with God's good, his holy purposes, and then experiencing his abundance, his abundant living in every way that he wills and wishes and orchestrates for us. Listen to that again. Peace is wholeness. It's flourishing in all divinely blessed ways. It's knowing that you're forgiven. It's knowing that you are right with God. It's fully integrating your heart, your mind, your soul with God's good, with his holy purposes, and experiencing his abundant living in every way that he wills, wishes, and orchestrates for us. But now, listen close. That part right there means you've got to trust Jesus. You've got to trust him more and more. What he wants, his will, what he wants to do in your life, what he wants to orchestrate, you trust him more and more to orchestrate that in your heart, in your life. Verses 3-5, David explains more. He says, Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord, according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, literally for justice. The thrones of the house of David. This song celebrates close-knit unity. Jerusalem, peace city, is built compact. Even the stones in the walls, the stones themselves are built close together. There's this nearness. There's this tightness. Nothing's broken or coming undone. It's built compact, close together. The tribes go up. And although each tribe is unique in name and territory and makeup, what unifies them is the Lord. Note that, the tribes of the Lord. Togetherness, better belonging are cultivated in Jerusalem. Betterness, true belonging. Togetherness, a betterness through the Lord. It's true back then for Israel. It's true across global history and still so true today. Great diversity exists among God's people worldwide, across regions, and even across churches. Various emphases and preferences and likes and dislikes and strengths and weaknesses. A rich tapestry of giftedness. Incredible. But what unites us, it's the Lord Jesus himself. What unites us is the Lord himself, his character, his mission, his loving focus for our lives and through our lives. That's what unites us. There have been times I've been far from home. Far, far from home. Other side of the globe even. There's been a couple times like this. So far from home, so far from my people. But I've encountered other Christ followers. Sometimes very serendipitously, and have just felt this immediate bond. Why? Because of the Lord. Because of Christ. Because of his mission. Such unity. Now, don't miss the grand purpose for their gathering to express, do you see it there? To praise the name of the Lord. To express thanks. To express gratitude, to share thanks. Thanks focus is what's in focus right here. Thanks focus is to be the name of the Lord, his character, who he is and what he does in our lives, who he is and what he's done throughout history. That's what's in focus. Who he is and what he does, his very character, helps us climb higher over all of those potential obstacles. We ponder his amazing character and we give thanks. So pause to ponder. Go ahead, pause to ponder what you want to share with others via the big mountain out in the foyer. I told you last week we're going to build a mountain. I urged you to come ready to share with just 3 to 7 words. And if you weren't here last time to hear that, don't worry, you can catch up here. 3 to 7 words, your hopes, your fears, your dreams, your big prayers and praises, and we'll add your gratitude to the Lord as we go into 2026. And so I want to urge you to write them down. There are rocks like these around you there. Grab one or two of them. Go ahead. And in the next few minutes, even as I'm still blabbing, you can multitask. You're good at that. Think of 3 to 7 words that would encapsulate your own praises to the Lord right now, and also the things that might scare you going into the new year, or the things that feel like those obstacles, those spots that seem insurmountable where you need better footholds, and just jot them down. Let me tell you about a couple of mine, and I already hung rocks on the big mountain out there that mirror these. Let me tell you about a couple of mine. And each of mine is both a thanks, praise, as well as a big hope and anticipation for the year. One of them is just 3 words, and it says, leaders stepping up. Leaders stepping up. We're in an interesting season where so many of you are just expressing in really, really great ways that you want to follow Jesus more fully in leading strong with other people. And that's a big praise. To want to be a disciple like that, who's making other disciples and really influencing others, that is awesome. That's a big thanks area in my heart and life, but also a great big opportunity and challenge for us for the year. So that's one of mine. And the other one is what do we got here? 5 words. New class to teach and designing, I wrote there. And some of you know I do some teaching from time to time, and I got invited to teach a class. Here's the kicker. I haven't taught this one before. And it's for one of my alma maters, and there's some big expectations with a gulp, and I'm in design phase with it. And to tell you the honest truth, I really need Jesus. I do. And so it feels like a big challenge, and yet I'm excited about it and anticipating it and hoping that it makes good impact in other leaders this summer when I share it. So I just want to invite you. What might be a challenge for you? And for every one of us, it's going to sound different. For some of us, it might be more rugged and raw. For some of us, it's a great big fear. For some of us, it's just a great big thanks, a great big praise right now. Jot yours down, and then you can take it out and clip it there onto the mountain. And have fun reading others out there as well. And we're going to keep this going and build onto the mountain already. There's a whole bunch out there. After 9 o'clock, a bunch of people added them. But we're going to do it throughout the series as well. So if you're not sure this week or you feel stumped, you can contemplate it this week. Come back ready next week. See how David urged him to pray? He's very specific. He urges him to pray as they sang. Verses 6 and 7. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Like the other ascent psalms, here is repetition and resulting punny wordplay. I told you last week, most of these ascent psalms involve pun. Some of you continued to torture me throughout the week about how bad my puns were last week. I will not torture you with any more this week, but the pun right here is very, very purposeful. Pray for Yerushalom. Shalom. Pray for Peace City. Peace. Real flourishing and tranquility and strength. It's prayer for God's people to truly, truly see and encounter wholeness, completeness, knowing with confidence that they are right with God, that their lives are solid and secure in the Lord, that the kind of peace that will echo off the walls of the temple and that will echo in their souls and in their relationships with one another. That kind of peace. Such intentional praying emanates further with verses 8 and 9. Love, love this. David says, for the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. David's song compelled God's people to join him in praying, passionately seeking, and actively working for hopeful blessing, and joyous justice, and abundant flourishing in relationships and life-giving resources. What's in view is more than thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers are a good starting point, no doubt. But this is deeply integrated, spiritual, action-oriented, physical, tangible, yes, financial even, and actively kingdom-advancing work. Hearts and minds and actions changing to truly trust in Jesus more and more. Such praying today should include more intentional praying for literal present-day Jerusalem. Absolutely. For people there, for leaders, for government and region there to have even bigger vision and fulfillment for true and lasting peace. Pray for Jerusalem, literal Jerusalem, yes. And so we join in singing of and praying for the people and that place in the region. Realize it or not, we have a unique overflow history with Jewish people, absolutely good and healthy and hopeful to pray for more people, Jews and others in that region, to come to truly know and trust the Prince of Peace, to truly trust King Jesus. Pray for Jerusalem. And we stretch our steps to include the new covenant vision, to include more intentional prayers and active strategies toward peace cultivating, the kind of events with our own family and friends and neighbors and in our region and our state, and the national governmental leaders, plus our church family and friends. We pray for peace to cultivate in those ways. We stretch to climb higher. We stretch to take bigger steps in our prayers and in our work. This is a comprehensive, pervasive peace. Again, absence of hostility and war, for sure. Yes, that vision is in view. But it's more. It's more. It's seeing the Prince of Peace, his forgiveness, his making us right in his sight through the work of Christ on the cross for us. It's trusting Jesus, the Prince of Peace, his relational restoration that's available for every person who believes and receives his grace. How many of you would identify as Pittsburgh Steelers fans? Congratulations, you're still alive to see another day. How many of you would identify as Birds fans? Go Eagles. Yes, my people. Congratulations, you have a few more hours to live. Now, wouldn't it be something? Can you just imagine? Wouldn't it be something if somehow yeah, we'll see. I don't know that that's going to happen, but you never know. Now, isn't it interesting, in all of our different realms of life, how often we divide things up, we chop things up. Oh, yeah, black and gold. Oh, yeah, green, I bleed green. Oh, yeah. And yet there's this amazing thing this amazing unity that happens. Set aside the football teams, set aside all the different things that can so readily divide us. We encounter Jesus' peace. Recall how Paul speaks of the strong building together of both Jews and Gentiles. Now watch this. The Israelites and all the peoples, that's all the rest of us. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And everybody else who's not a Jew. You who are far away have been brought near, note it, by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose, note this, his purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility, he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. See, as we pray for peace, it changes the music in our souls. It changes the tunes in our hearts as well as our interactions. So the tones change, our conversations, our deliberate meetups with people, even people very different from us, dropping the racial divisions, especially any inch of anti-Semitism. What we seek to cultivate with others becomes so much healthier, more holy, more Jesus-focused, accomplishing ultimate good. Ultimate good. So I wonder, truly wonder, what will happen when we all decide to pray very intentionally in 2026 for better peace, and deliberately work, deliberately seek resolution, glorious gospel sharing, glorious gospel living, extending forgiveness, plus good work toward flourishing in our homes and in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our government systems in 2026. Shalom, shalom. Catch Ascent 123 and our fourth Ascend Strong Foothold. Ascent 123 and our fourth Ascend Strong Foothold. I lift my eyes to you. Oh, some of you immediately are like, oh, yeah, that sounds like 121. I lift my eyes. Yes, this one's all about better vision, better eyesight, where to look. I lift my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. What's in view? His mercy. Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. And here's another one of these. We saw it with Ascent 120, just kind of leaves you dangling there. What are you supposed to do with it? Ponder, stir, churn. What should be my response? Well, where are your eyes? Where are you looking? Where's your vision? See, this is all about looking toward traveling mercies amidst opposition, looking toward traveling mercies amidst opposition. This mercy is amazing. It's God's compassionate inclination to show gracious favor. Mercy is God's compassion, his inclination to show grace. Mercy and grace are so often in tandem together in God's truth. Mercy and grace for us, especially toward needy people like the poor and the orphans and the oppressed and all of us in all the times we sense we're in need. The concept unfolds in gospel accounts, and some of you have taken up the challenge of reading, letting your heart, mind, and soul be immersed in the gospels a couple weeks ago, and I mentioned it last week as well, the challenge of make this 2026 your year in the gospels, and some of you are already into Matthew, and you've told me how you're doing that, and that's awesome. But if you haven't already, you're gonna come upon those spots where somebody, a number of somebodies all over the gospels, look toward Jesus and just cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." Our fourth ascend strong faith-building foothold is this magnificent mercy. Magnificent mercy amidst contempt and ridicule. Where, why, and how? Where and why and how do you need to encounter God's mercy right now? Go there. Where and why and how? What's going on in your life right now where you need a fresh dose of mercy? Go there. And then lift your eyes and trust Jesus. Lift your eyes. Ascent 123, don't miss how much of it is about your vision. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 proves pivotal. Following this whole catalog of faith-filled people, he spotlights Jesus as the ultimate in living out faith, the ultimate example of living out faith, the ultimate example of endurance. We fix our eyes on Jesus. What's that mean? Well, it's gotta be more than simply a nice, pithy, feel-good saying. Maybe you've thrown that around or heard somebody say it to you. Well, just fix your eyes on Jesus. That's good, but what's it really mean? It means you set your sights on his example, his heart, his values, his passions, his character, how you see him living all across the gospel. His very character, his purposes, his priorities, and ultimately his mercy for you. What he did for you on the cross, what he did for you in rising from the grave, the compassionate grace that flows your way and mine. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Several lines later in Hebrews 12, the writer of Hebrews does something very interesting. He takes us into a spiritual outlook, much like we're doing in this series, a deeply spiritual outlook where we actually, we look in a very spiritualized way at the climb to up Mount Zion to Jerusalem to this place of worship. And this is super encouraging. Look what he says. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Now, as he says this, he's saying this has happened because of Christ Jesus. This has happened because we trust in Jesus. He says, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. All the way along, this thing has been bloody. It's been bloody and beautifully bloody. Beautifully bloody for you and for me because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, bringing to us this new covenant, this better word that changes how we ascend this year. No matter the obstacles, you have these footholds because your trust is in Jesus. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a final song that fixes our eyes right there. The team's going to come and lead us in this song. As they're coming, I want to invite you to contemplate in several ways. Might be contemplation toward what you're writing on those rocks. What are those obstacles? What are those fears? What are those praises and great spots to give thanks? What are you going to write on your rocks and post on the mountain out there? And it might be for you in these moments, just an all-out, brand new refocus on Jesus as your own Savior, the one whose blood opens the new way for you. And if that's you today, trust him. Simple prayer, bold prayer. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, forgive me. Make me right. Bring me your shalom. Jesus, thank you. Lord, in these moments right now, thank you. Have mercy on us. Bring mercy our way. Help us be people of peace. So moved and so changed by your peace, Jesus. Lifting our eyes, focusing on you, thank you. Amen. Let's sing out together.